In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here on the Saturday in the month of May, it's a joy to preach again on the Blessed Virgin Mary, and especially to consider Our Lady in relation to the season of Easter and the mystery of the resurrection of our Savior. There is, as I used at the very beginning of this month, there is the great hymn or antiphon to the Blessed Virgin Mary called the Regina Caeli. Regina Caeli Laetare, Alleluia. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, Alleluia. He whom you did merit to bear, Alleluia. Has risen as he said, Alleluia. Pray to God for us, Alleluia. Now, as we consider that little verse and the joy of the Blessed Virgin Mary during the Easter season, there's a few points we might reflect upon. So I'd like to do that just a little bit for today's sermon. Consider, first of all, the historical reality of the resurrection of our Savior from the dead and Our Lady's participation in that historical fact. When Jesus rose from the dead, as we already know, no one was there to witness the actual event of the resurrection. No one saw him come forth from the tomb. We heard that chanted on the Easter Vigil, right, by the priest. Could have been a deacon if there was a deacon here. The deacon might have to do it next year. But the Easter Vigil, the Easter proclamation, right, the Exultet, there's the Exultet in which we say, O blessed night which alone was worthy to witness the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Only the night saw the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. No one witnessed it. It was witnessed by no man. It was shrouded entirely in mystery. And so when the women came to the tomb, what they saw was the angel come and break the seal and roll back the stone, and behold, the body is not present. And that's when all the guards fell down in amazement and in wonder. It's very clear in Matthew's gospel especially, though you'll see it in all of the gospels, but especially Matthew's gospel makes it clear. So that's the proof of the resurrection, that the body couldn't have been taken during the night because the stone was still there. And so they saw the stone rolled away and the body was not in the tomb. And therefore he must have been raised and passed through the walls of the sealed tomb in the night, even as he passed through the walls of the upper room to be with his disciples, even as he passed through the walls of the sealed womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary on Christmas Eve, on Christmas at midnight, when he was born. So that's the proof of the resurrection there, but no one saw the actual event itself. But it's good to realize that Mary was not even with those women that came to the tomb. Right? Mary was not among those women who came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. It's very interesting. She's not mentioned as being among their number. In fact, we know she wasn't. She was not with them. Why didn't she go to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning? Why didn't she go? Wouldn't she want to be with them to anoint the body of her son? Wouldn't she want to be with these women to weep at the tomb for the death of her son? Wouldn't she want to go there to pay honor to the body, to the corpse of her son? Well, of course not. Of course she wouldn't want to be with them. Not at all. Why not? Because she already knew that he had been raised from the dead. She already knew by faith that he would rise. She alone understood. And even Mary Magdalene, who was so close to our Lord, even John the Evangelist, so close to our Lord, even those two did not understand this mystery. Certainly none of the others did either. So everyone else thought that Jesus' body would still be there. But Mary, she already knew he would rise from the dead. She had learned this from the prophets, right? She had read the prophets and she understood from their words. Of course, she had learned this from special infusion of grace, of intelligible species upon her soul, right? The infusion of knowledge upon her soul by the Holy Spirit. And then also she had learned it when Jesus himself taught it to her, when he was absent from her, when he was lost to her for 3 days, and then she found him in Jerusalem, in the temple, right? So she learned it in many ways. The last way was by experience, by a sort of experience. And she was taught by her son. So she knew that Jesus would rise from the dead. She already knew he would rise. This did not stop her from feeling the most intense sorrow as she stood there at the foot of the cross. Even though she knew he would rise from the dead, she was moved to the most intense sorrow of all the disciples. Of course she was. Even as Jesus himself was intensely sorrowful as he was dying on the cross. Right? He was overcome even with sorrow, we could say. Although, of course, not overcome in the sense of that his reason was not overcome. But he was totally filled with sorrow, filled with sorrow. And yet Jesus certainly knew he would rise from the dead, right? Jesus knew he would rise from the dead. There was no question about that. He knew he would rise from the dead. And yet he was intensely sorrowful at his own death, at his crucifixion. And so Mary, who knew that Jesus would rise, she shared in his sorrow likewise. She shared in his sorrow likewise. So she was moved to the most intense sorrow of all the disciples. But she knew he would rise. There was no doubt. Her faith did not waver. She alone was the church on Holy Saturday. Right? That's why Saturday is in her honor, because she alone was the church on that day to stay waiting and watchful, to persevere in faith, knowing that Jesus would rise. Okay, nevertheless, even though she knew he would rise, you know, she was very sad, but she knew he would rise, and she didn't have to go to the tomb, still, she was exceptionally joyful when she saw the risen Lord. She already knew he would rise. She wasn't surprised in the way the others were. Now, the others were surprised and sort of stupefied. They were incredulous with joy, it says, right? Incredulous with joy. They could scarcely believe it. All was turning upside down for them, running back and forth, right? You know, everyone's running back and forth from the tomb over to the apostles, back to the tomb, back to the apostles. Everyone's very excited and confused. Those two guys on the way to Emmaus, you know, we're not sure what to think. Mary had a joy incomparably greater than all the other disciples, but she was not the least bit incredulous. She was not the least bit sort of stupefied, for she had perfect faith. So she had far, far greater joy, but none of that confusion. Okay, none of that confusion. Just pure, total, perfect joy, because she had pure, total, perfect faith. Even as Jesus himself knew he would rise from the dead, but he was particularly joyful when it actually happened. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rejoiced. Sometimes we don't really think about that as often as we should, you know. In his humanity, in his sacred humanity, he rejoiced when he rose from the dead. Think of his mirth, right? Or his joy, mirth, you know. Incredible mirth he had at his own resurrection from the dead. And so Mary shared in that joy. Now there's an ancient tradition, and then we see it in writing at least by the 1400s or so, so it's a little bit more recent as far as when we actually see it in writing, that Jesus appeared to his mother on Easter Sunday morning. That he appeared to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and even that he appeared to her first of all. You don't have to believe it, right? It's not a matter of faith or doctrine or anything like that. You don't have to believe it. St. Thomas Aquinas had not heard of this tradition. It does not seem he knew or was aware of this tradition, for example. So you don't have to believe it. But John Paul II, for his part, was very firm in believing it. He actually preached about it very publicly from the Vatican. So he was very strong in this belief that Jesus appeared to Mary on that first Easter Sunday to manifest to her the truth of the resurrection. Even though she already had faith, he must have appeared to her, John Paul thought. He appeared to Mary, and then he asks us to consider the joy she had when she sees the risen Lord. So whether it be by that apparition, Jesus appearing to Mary that first of all on Easter Sunday morning, or whether it be simply by an infusion of light from the Holy Spirit where the truth of the resurrection and the reality, the fact that it had happened, was placed upon her soul. So one way or the other, either he appeared to her or the Holy Spirit enlightened her to the fact, the historical fact, the reality of it all. We think of the joy that the Blessed Virgin Mary had on Easter Sunday morning, and then we say that hymn, Regina Caeli Laetare, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, Alleluia. We could say with St. Louis Marie de Montfort, rejoice, O Virgin Mary, rejoice a thousand times. Rejoice, O Virgin Mary, rejoice a thousand times. The joy she has at seeing her Son raised from the dead, seeing the risen Lord. If the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, how much more did Our Lady rejoice when she saw the risen Lord? Okay, all of that is by way of prelude to one last point, which I'm going to make very simply. All of that's by way of prelude to one last simple point, which is this. Mary had intense joy at the resurrection of her Son. She has that same intense joy when she sees the risen Lord present in the souls of those who believe. Mary has the same joy when she sees the risen Lord present in your soul. We can think especially of how the resurrection is applied to our soul at baptism. She had the same joy when you were baptized that she had on Easter Sunday, because it's the same Jesus. If it's the same Jesus coming to birth in our soul by baptism, the very same Jesus who rose from the dead, then it's her very same Son. And so she must have the very same joy. You know, you mothers out there, you can testify to this. Fathers too, of course, but we're sort of talking about motherhood today. You mothers can testify to this, right? If it's the same child, it's the same joy. That's just how it is. The same joy. We can think when we receive confirmation or penance or, of course, most especially, Holy Communion. The Blessed Virgin Mary has the same joy as she did on Easter Sunday. She has the same joy when she sees the risen Christ present in your soul. Now, Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is the risen Lord. Right? It's the risen Jesus whom we receive. It's the sacrament of the sacrifice of the cross, right? It's the sacramental sacrifice of the cross made present on the altar. But the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist is the risen Jesus, because there's only one Jesus. So Jesus in the Eucharist has to be the same Jesus who rose from the dead. So it's the risen Jesus who comes to us in Holy Communion. The risen Lord is present, even substantially present within us, when we receive Holy Communion. So when you receive the Eucharist, you can present the risen Lord back to Mary. And this is a very profitable way to receive Holy Communion. You might even try to do it today. At the foot of the cross, Jesus gave Mary you and gave you Mary. Right? So John stood for all of us there. So he said to Mary, behold your son. And to you he said, behold your mother. And of course, it's very sweet and tender and good for us, but it must have been very sad, because her son was Jesus, and now she's stuck with Father Ryan. You know, that's a terrible thought. It's the saddest thought in the world, isn't it? Like with any of you, right? Sad, very, very sad thought. To exchange one son so good as this one is, our Savior, and to receive me in return. A terribly, terribly sad thought. For her, at least, it's a very sad. For us, it's very happy. We're very lucky. We're very blessed. But for her, it's a sad thought. But now when I receive Mary in Holy Communion, I can say back, Mother, behold your son. Right? We can take those same words. Mother, behold your son. Son, Jesus, my Lord, behold your mother. And so you can give Jesus back to Mary and Mary back to Jesus in your soul, just as she received him back on Easter Sunday morning. And I swear, the same joy she had on Easter Sunday, that very same joy she had when she saw the risen Lord, she will have that very same joy in your soul when you give him back to her through Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.